UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.
Hi everyone and welcome back to A Taller Mountain, a podcast about women in English literature, and this is episode 10. I'm Natalia Hernández, a teacher of English at the Official School of Languages in Elche, and this podcast has been born of the collaboration between the Official School's Media Center, Mediateca, and the UMH, Universidad Miguel Hernández. Instead of feeling low, get high. It's great to know that you are there listening to us. I really hope you enjoy spending this time together. Our podcast can be found on iVoox, please subscribe, and also on the websites of the Official School of Languages and UMH Radio. You never understood. Just play the game, you know, eventually. With us today, we have Ana Maria. Thanks a lot for coming to A Taller Mountain.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we are going to talk about a great writer of non-fiction, an activist in lesbian feminism, the acclaimed Sheila Jeffries. It's time now for our first section, A Woman's Life. Sheila Jeffries was born in the United Kingdom in 1948 to a working-class army family from London's East End. After attending an all-girls grammar school, she studied at Manchester University and then taught at a girls' boarding school. She began to participate actively in the Women's Liberation Movement in 1973, a few years after it was launched in the UK. In the 1970s, she wrote her first feminist articles for conferences and newsletters and was part of a movement called Revolutionary Feminism. In the 1980s, she devoted lots of her political energy to lesbian feminism and to the creation of lesbian feminist cultural institutions such as the Lesbian History Group and the London Lesbian Archive. She wrote her first book, The Spinster and Her Enemies, in 1985. And continued to fight violence against women from different groups. She gained a controversial reputation for being a theorist of sexuality and sexual violence who questioned the construction of heterosexuality. In 1991, she moved to Melbourne to take up a position at the university, where she worked as a professor of political science. She went back to the UK when she retired in 2015. Now, I'd like to read you something she wrote in her autobiography, Trigger Warning, My Lesbian Feminist Life, and I quote her. In 2015, I retired and returned to the UK and took up feminist theory writing again and lesbian feminist activism. However, what strikes me as this new wave of feminism grows is that the context is so bleak compared to the 1960s and 1970s. Decades of savage capitalism have undone many of the advances toward equality and social mobility that occurred after the Second World War, which have unleashed a wave of right-wing policies in Europe and the Americas. But I will continue to do everything in my power as part of a formidable new wave to create a feminist revolution. End of quote. When we talk about Sheila Jeffries, we must also mention the Women's Declaration International, WDI, formerly the Women's Human Rights Campaign, which is an international organization founded in 2018 by Sheila herself and Heather Branscale Evans in the United Kingdom. Women's Declaration International has published a declaration on women's sex-based rights. Okay, as I said before, today with us we have a special guest, Ana Maria. Ana Maria was a student at the Official School of Languages here in Elche, where she studied English primarily and a little bit of French. She graduated in journalism and then she studied a master's degree in gender and the politics of equality between women and men. She now works as a gender equality officer at the Council of ASPE and collaborates with several feminist organizations. She became a bookworm when she was just a little girl, and she's still one. She has always had a love for writing, and I'd love her to tell you something about her choices of books to read.
Okay, well, about that. One day I found a book at my home called 1001 Books You Must Read Before Dying. And as if one wants to be a good writer, as is my case, it is very important to read the classics of literature. So I decided to take a look and choose some of them to read. Out of curiosity, I checked how many of these 1001 books were written by women. I counted them and it was just 150 of them. I got angry because of so little representation of women's writings in the compilation. So I decided to read only these 150 ones.
I see your point. I understand your anger and adhere to it. But sadly, it's not shocking, is it?
Of course not.
No. Ana, how did you discover Sheila Jeffries' writings?
Well, this is funny. This is a funny story. Okay. When I was 29, I fell in love with a woman for the first time in my life. I had only had relationships with boys until then. So this falling for a woman made me really confused. Searching for information on social media and the internet, I found a young woman that she was known to be a political lesbian and that happened to be living very near me.
Okay.
What she divulged in her social media intrigued me. So I read her and asked her if we could meet one day and talk about all these messy questions I had about lesbianism.
Oh, you were really brave.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the thing is that she was very nice and agreed to meet me one day. The meeting was very, very enlightening. Everything she explained to me made sense and helped me understand what I was feeling from a political and a feminist point of view. That was a surprise that this question could be looked at from a feminist point of view.
I see.
After that meeting, we became very good friends and she introduced me to the work of Sheila Jeffries, Mary Daly, Janice Raymond and other radical feminists and also recommended that I read The Lesbian Heresy, among other feminist essays.
You did have a chance to meet Sheila in Gijón, didn't you?
Yes, I had the pleasure to meet Sheila Jeffries in Gijón in 2023.
The best city in the world, after Elche, of course.
Yes, she was there presenting her book, Gender Hearts, a feminist analysis of the politics of transgenderism, in the book fair. And I got to meet her in person and talk to her, and that was amazing. She was very nice and relatable. She is a 76-year-old lady, but she's so full of energy.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yes, and what amazed me most from her was that despite all the hostility she has faced as an activist and all the ups and downs that she has witnessed of the feminist movement during decades, she still seemed positive and hopeful. Yes, I think that's quite extraordinary because it's easy for a feminist woman, especially when you are an activist, to get caught by despair and sadness because of all the woman hatred that we can see in society and all the harm that is being done every day to women and girls. But she didn't really seem burnt out or anything, just very lucid and determined. And she's a really admirable woman.
I wish I'd been there with you, Ana, you know.
It would have been lovely.
Yeah, Sheila Jeffries is known to be a radical feminist. Could you explain to us what that means, a radical feminist?
That's a very good question. Well, radical feminism considers women as an oppressed sex class. These visions imply considering patriarchy as a structural system that creates inequality between women and men at all levels. In this system, women are systematically put in a lower position than men. Radical feminism is characterized by making very deep analysis and by questioning a lot of patriarchal institutions that are supernaturalized. For example, they analyze not just gender and role stereotypes, but also maternity, marriage, the nuclear family, heterosexuality, prostitution, pornography, among other topics.
So I'm a radical feminist then. And you? What about you?
Well, I definitely think so.
Oh, yes. Sheila Jeffries always defines herself as a lesbian feminist. So, is it the same to be a lesbian who considers herself a feminist as to be a lesbian feminist? Or is lesbian feminism something different?
Yes, it's not exactly the same thing. I'll explain. Lesbian feminism is a concrete feminist position in its own, like ecofeminism or anarcho-feminism, for example. A lesbian can consider herself a feminist if she agrees with the usual feminist agenda as equal pay, equal rights, stopping gender-based violence, women's reproductive rights, and so on. But they can consider also their identity as lesbians as having nothing to do with feminism at all, as they are simply born that way.
Oh, now I get it.
However, a lesbian feminist goes deeper into the reflection of compulsory heterosexuality as a patriarchal institution. This means a lesbian feminist doesn't believe that we are born heterosexual or gay or lesbian, but that it is culture that enforces heterosexuality virtually upon us all, even if there are people who don't live upon it. In a nutshell, a lesbian feminist thinks that every woman can choose to be a lesbian. It can be a personal and political decision, like being vegan, to put an example. And being a lesbian, by lesbian feminism, is not seen as a deviation of norm or something biologically originated.
Well, I think I understand better now, much better. And it's real food for thought. But let's move on to my next question. Sheila Jeffries' writings are basically political and historical feminist essays. But what other books have you read by her?
Well, I haven't read all of them because she's such a prolific author. She has been publishing since 1987 until today. She has written 14 books and dozens of articles and book chapters, but I've read quite a few. I began with The Lesbian Heresy, A Feminist Perspective on the Lesbian Sexual Revolution.
That one's been at my home for a long time now, you know, waiting for me to have time. Sorry for the delay. I'll give it back soon.
No worries. I have read them quite a few times by now, so okay. Don't worry. This one introduced me for the first time with the concept of compulsory heterosexuality as a patriarchal institution and with the existence of lesbian feminism. I also read Anticlimax, A Feminist Perspective on the Sexual Revolution, and in that one, Jeffries offers a critical analysis to the sexual revolutions of the 60s and the 70s, and concludes that it didn't bring about a real emancipation for women, and incremented the sexual objectification of women. In other words, the sexual revolution favored men much more than women.
Well, that's clarifying.
Yes, it is. And others I've read are The Industrial Vagina, The Political Economy of the Global Sex Trade, where she analyzes the industry around prostitution, Gender Hearts, A Feminist Analysis of the Politics of Transgenderism, where she questions in deep the politics of the transgender movement from a feminist point of view, Penile Imperialism, the Male Sex Right and Women's Subordination, where she explains the many ways how men's sexual desires and fetishes find ways to overpower and hinder women's basic human rights. And finally, I've also read her autobiography, Trigger Warning, My Lesbian Feminist Life, which is very inspiring because you can see how she has contributed to two waves of feminism, the one in the 70s and the new one that is happening nowadays.
Well, to me, you seem like an expert on Sheila Jeffries. I feel especially interested in the topic of prostitution. You mentioned a book by her, The Industrial Vagina, where she dwells on this matter. So tell us, what is her take on prostitution and also pornography?
Of course, she is an abolitionist. This means that she argues for the abolition of prostitution because it is considered to be a form of sexual violence and a manifestation of women's oppression. Abolitionism has been at the heart of feminism since it was born. Historical feminists like Olympe de Gouges, Mary Wollstonecraft, Flora Tristan or Josephine Butler raised their voice against prostitution. On this matter, I recommend The Industrial Vagina, but also her book The Idea of Prostitution, where she explains that prostitution is a system where men, who are the ones in power, access women's bodies. She considers it as an intersection between patriarchy and capitalism.
So capitalism considers sex as something that can be sold, like anything can be sold according to capitalism. And selling it can be a job, sex work, as some people call it.
Absolutely. And about that, Sheila sees all of that and also criticizes the discourses that try to sell prostitution as some kind of empowerment.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Empowerment.
Yeah, empowerment. That's too much.
I don't understand. Yes.
No. And she highlights the harms that it does to women and children.
What about pornography?
Well, very similar arguments can be used to question pornography, too. It's another form of prostitution, a filmed one. Mm-hmm. And what does abolitionism propose? It proposes helping the victims to get out of that dehumanizing system and address the underlying problems that cause prostitution, such as the economic inequality and the objectification of women.
About transgender issues, what is her take on this topic?
Her take on this topic has made her the target of a lot of hate and criticism. However, if anyone reads the books she has about these topics, such as Gender Hearts, Unpacking Queer Politics or Penile Imperialism, one can see that her arguments are very well grounded, both in facts and in feminist theory. Her main point is that gender is a social construct that harms people and not an identity that is fixed, unconditioned, individual or eternal. That seems more the religious definition of a soul rather than a scientific concept.
It does.
Yes, and she only uses the feminist perspective to question the basic tenets of queer theory, which, by the way, is not really a feminist theory, and the politics that they promote, highlighting all the ways in which these politics harm women and girls' sex-based rights.
Okay, so this is why she founded, together with other women, the Women's Declaration International, right?
Yes, she's one of the founders of Women's Declaration International, which is a global radical feminist organization originated in the United Kingdom that drafted the Declaration of Women's Sex-Based Rights to combat regulatory proposals that replace the legal category sex with gender identity all over the world.
About this, there's great news coming from Britain, saying on the 16th of April, judges at the UK Supreme Court unanimously ruled that a woman is defined by biological sex under equalities law.
Yes, that has been wonderful news for women and girls in UK because their sex-based rights will be protected then.
And let us hope this will spread like wildfire, hopefully. And now my next question is, what's the impact of her work as an academic and as a feminist activist?
I think the best way to answer this question is to read her autobiography, Trigger Warning, which covers the most important political and academic work that she has done during her life. Taking into account that she has been an unstoppable feminist activist and academic for over 5 decades, it is very difficult to apprehend the vastness of her impact. Each of her books has clarified and enlightened different problems faced by women and the feminist movement, whether the problem is prostitution, religion, transgenderism, beauty practices, or heterosexuality. A recent example I can give is her book Beauty and Misogyny, published in English for the first time in 2011, which made a huge impact in South Korea when translated in 2018. In South Korea, in 2015, a movement started called Take Off the Corset, which argues that beauty practices such as cosmetic surgery, makeup, or high heels should be understood as harmful cultural practices. She argues that they create stereotyped roles for the sexes, which originate in the subordination of women and are for the benefit of men, and they are justified by tradition.
Well, off my corset goes.
mine too.
You too. Yours too, yes.
Yes. So that's precisely what they thought. And when this book, Beauty and Misogyny, was translated in 2018 into Korean, it provided the movement with theoretical context and historical background.
You know, I think books have such a power, don't you think? They can change you and they can change the world.
Totally. One characteristic of reading Sheila Jeffries is that it brings clarity about the feminist perspective. She's a master in explaining things in an academically solid way, yet understandable way. You don't need to be an academic to understand her. She creates lesbian and feminist awakenings to the women who read her.
Okay. Ana Maria, it's now time to ask you the 2 questions I ask all my guests at the end of the interview. And this is the first one. Which is your favorite quote of hers and why?
My favorite quote of hers is her definition of lesbian feminism that can be found in her book, The Lesbian Heresy. It says, and I quote, "Above all, lesbian feminism seeks to create a world where lesbians can live because in that world, all women will be free." I like this quote because it breaks the idea that the political agenda of lesbians is something unimportant for the mainstream feminist agenda. Lesbians' rights are women's rights. Also, it is our duty to recognize how much lesbians have contributed to feminist theory and the feminist movement historically. Also, of course, I share Sheila's opinion that a world where lesbians can live is a world where all women can be free.
And my second question is this. Do you recommend reading her books? To whom and why?
I recommend her books to any person who is willing to open their mind to critical thinking about sexual politics, gender, and lesbian and gay topics. To women, I strongly recommend the reading of The Lesbian Heresy because it can literally change your vision of what lesbianism can mean for women, and this could be even life-changing, as it happened to me. I also wholeheartedly recommend that everyone read her autobiography, Trigger Warning.
Ana Maria, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you here, and it would be lovely to have you back for another episode in the future. What do you think?
Oh, I'm so in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you a lot.
And now let's get ready for our next section, On Screen. Oh, You can't miss her website, where you can find links to her blogs, articles, video conferences, radio interviews, and much more. Women's Declaration International has a YouTube channel called Radical Feminist Perspectives, where books are commented on from an, of course, radical perspective, and where she often is one of the commentators. I'll leave you the link to their last episode, where, together with Julia Long, she comments on the book Theorizing Heterosexuality. I'll also leave you the link to one of the Women's Declaration International video podcasts, where Sheila Jeffries talks about one of her books, Beauty and Misogyny. I recommend watching a TV interview with her on Kenny Live, an Irish TV show, in 1990, following the publication of her book Anti-Climax. Contributing to the Key Thinker Seminar series at the University of Melbourne, Sheila Jeffries talks about the influence of Kate Millett, the author of the renowned feminist book Sexual Politics on Feminism. I'll leave you the link to this talk on YouTube. You can also listen to an interview with her on her autobiography, Trigger Warning, My Lesbian Feminist Life, in the program Biological Woman's Hour, in the podcast Adult Human Female, on SoundCloud. And now, before we go, it would be wonderful, Ana Maria, if you could read Legacy to our listeners and to me, the poem by Rupi Kaur, which inspired the name of this podcast. Will you do that for us, please?
Yes, of course. Okay, here we go. I stand on the sacrifices of a million women before me, thinking, what can I do to make this mountain taller so the women after me can see farther.
Ana Maria, thanks again. You've made this mountain taller today with us doing this podcast, and you, our listeners, too. All of us together, we are making this mountain taller.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Thanks. We now have to say goodbye for a while, since this has been this season's last episode. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I hope you listen to us very soon, next October. You know, time flies.
You got somewhere to go instead of feeling sad.
You'll find the link to this podcast, as well as those links I mentioned on the section on screen, posted on the Instagram page of the official School of Languages. Subscribe, please, to our program at Tola Mountain on iVox. And do not forget to give us a like if you enjoyed it.
Feel good about what you're dreaming of. Instead of trying to win something.
It'll also be available, of course, on the school's website and on UMH Radio's website. A huge thank you to Ana Maria for joining us, and to the entire staff of UMH Radio. In the technical team today, Antonio Peñalver. Bye.
Instead of feeling broke, buck up and get your.
UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.